Hey guys, this is Pastor Zach, and you are listening to Sermon Notes here at HPC.
We don't need a lot of time. We're going to trust the Lord for what he has. We're going to hit the ground running. I do believe it's so cool to see what was happening in the Spirit today. I do believe that the Lord Jesus is here to deal with and eradicate fear. I believe that's one of the things that he's coming after this morning is fear. I believe that the Lord Jesus wants to strengthen marriages today in the house and teach us how to possess the land of our marriage. I believe that Jesus is here by his Holy Spirit, and he wants to teach us how to get those children back. I believe that there's a land to possess with those children that the Lord has for us today. So as I stated, we're going to hit the ground running. Would you go with me to Numbers chapter 33? Numbers chapter 33, and I'm going to lay a little bit of foundation for you as we get into what the Lord has. In Numbers 33, we are picking up sort of at the tail end of Moses' life. God has used Moses to bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, out of bondage, out of slavery. For 40 years, they walked the wilderness because they refused to obey. They refused to enter the land that God had for them. All they had to do was obey. So the Lord let that generation die out. Let that be a lesson to us. God, I don't need you to let me die out. I will obey. If God is telling you to possess a land, you go and possess it, and you don't be afraid of the giants. How many of you know how many spies went out originally? Y'all tell me, how many spies? 12. And of those 12, how many came back with a positive report? Say, I'm the two. You better believe it. I'm a Joshua, I'm a Caleb. I'm gonna be one of the two my whole life. Don't focus on the giants and the land that the Lord has called you to possess. I don't care how big they are. Exodus chapter 33, Moses is at the tail end of his life, and Deuteronomy is a summarization. All of Deuteronomy is a summarization where Moses calls one big assembly, and before he gets to go up on that mountain and breathe his last, because he doesn't get to inherit the promise, before he goes up on that mountain to breathe his last, he calls a giant assembly, and we're approaching just before that assembly. What you read in Deuteronomy, all those chapters, is a rehearsal of what God did. And where we're picking up is just before that. The children of Israel are in the land of Moab, and Moses is rehearsing a few things here. He's saying, listen, as you get ready to inherit the land, here's what you're going to need to do. Now, I want to do this. You know, in the old school days, we would just say something, having you repeat it back. So I'm going to do that, okay? Everybody say, possess the land. I said possess the land. You can be born again, spirit-filled, and still not possess the land. The Lord has a land for you to possess. He does. He does. So we're going to learn what we need to do to possess that land. What did I say? Did I say Numbers 33? Yeah, that's where we're supposed to be. Good. I want you to go to verse 50. Now, actually, I'm just going to pause. You said I have 2 weeks, so I'll take my time. You've been teaching Pastor Zach. I don't need 2 weeks, though. Hey, listen, many of you know, most of you know, that God moved us into this new house. It's such a miracle. We're so blessed. And while we've been living there, this is what I keep hearing. Possess the land. Possess the land. Possess the land. I said, Lord, we are. We live here. He said, no, possess the land. Possess the land. Possess the land. There's so much more than just dwelling. Did you know that dwelling is only one part of possessing the land? So the Lord is using a very natural instance in my life over the past 4 weeks to rehearse a truth, a principle that he has communicated to us. And that's what we're going to pick up on today. Exodus 33, excuse me, Numbers 33, verse 50. That's awesome. All right. Now the Lord spoke to Moses in the plains of Moab by the Jordan, across Jericho, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you have crossed the Jordan into the land of Canaan, then you shall drive out all the inhabitants of the land before you, destroy all their engraved stones, destroy all their molded images, and demolish all their high places. You shall dispossess the inhabitants of the land and dwell. Everybody say dwell. Dwell. In it. For I have given you the land to possess. And you shall divide the land by lot as an inheritance among your families. To the larger you shall give a larger inheritance, and to the smaller you shall give a smaller inheritance, that everyone's inheritance shall be whatever falls to him by lot. You shall inherit according to the tribes of your fathers. This all sounds pretty good. Everybody's like, all right, this is going to be awesome. We got a couple things we got to do, but then we got to dwell in the land. Pay careful attention to how Moses closes out here. But if you do not drive out the inhabitants of the land before you, then it shall be that those whom you let remain shall be irritants in your eyes and thorns in your side, and they shall harass you in the land where you dwell. Moreover, it shall be that I will do to you as I have thought to do to them. This is a very powerful passage. As the Lord has been speaking to me in the natural, he has been having me read the book of Joshua. And Joshua, they cross over the Jordan, they start inheriting the land. But one of the things that you see is they actually don't completely drive out all the Canaanites like the Lord told them to. They don't completely dispossess all the people. And as a result, they become exactly what God said. They would be irritants to their eyes and thorns in their side. We've just come off a spiritual warfare conference. And one of the things that became clear to me, and this is part of why we have a deliverance ministry and a yielding ministry here at our church. Some of us, we get born again and the Lord begins to break things off of our life, but then there's still things that remain. That's because salvation is the gift, but there's still land for you to possess. And the Lord wants you to possess it. He actually said that he left the inhabitants in the land to teach the children how to fight. You have an authority that Jesus has given you to walk in. And we need to go out and possess the land. We have a right to take what the Lord has given us. And the first thing you got to see here is the Lord says, I've already given it to you. That's how he tells Joshua in Joshua 1, don't be discouraged, don't be dismayed, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go, and every place the sole of your foot shall tread, I have given you. Do you believe that everywhere you walk in the spirit or everywhere you walk in the natural that the Lord has given you, every place the sole of your foot shall tread, I have given you. I don't know why the Lord keeps giving me these messages, but he's calling his bride to wake up, because there is a time and there is an authority that we are called to walk in. But too many of us, man, we've been living these broken lives even though we're saved and we're just waiting for the sweet by and by. But Jesus says, now is the time. Now is the time. You can walk in the authority that God has given you, but there's some work to do. I have a part to play. I have a part to play. Salvation was a gift. But Peter says this, add to your faith some virtue, some moral excellence, and then go ahead and add some brotherly kindness, and then go ahead and add some love. If you do these things and remain in these things, you will not stumble. There's a work. We're soldiers in the Lord's army, but he's given us everything that we need to possess the land. I believe that the Lord wants to drive out and eradicate fear this morning. Most of us walking around as Christians, but we're plagued and we're tormented by fear. But God said, Paul wrote to Timothy, I have not given you a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. Many Christians don't have a sound mind. That's because they need to possess the land of their mind that the Lord has given them. So how do we do it? Man, God is so good. He gives the question. He is good all the time. That's right. He gives the question and the answer. He gives the test. It's not just open book with God. He tells you what the answer is. It's not like you have to go and search for it. Look at it right here. I want you to go to verse 52. Drive out all the inhabitants of the land. Did you know that every promised land that the Lord has provided you still needs to be possessed by you? Still needs you to go in and take it. So he lays out, believe it or not, there's actually 7 different things that the Lord gives us here. And I'm just going to hammer them out right here. Drive out the inhabitants. Destroy the engraved stones. Destroy the molded images. Demolish the altars. Dispossess the inhabitants. Dwell in the land and divide the inheritance. This is so cool. 7 Seven things that he lays out for us to do. Now, there's been a prophetic word resurging once again out of Jeremiah 1, and we've been hearing it in the house recently. I know that Jackie has quoted it. I know that Pastor Zach has said it, that Jeremiah, you see that he will tear down. He says the word will tear down and uproot and then build up. It takes twice as much to remove is what we've been hearing. It takes twice as much to uproot. And in fact, you see the same rehearsal here. You see inhabitants twice, and you see destroy twice. So we're going to walk through some of these things today. By the way, what time does church supposed to end?
Never.
11:30-ish. So as long as we're within that 11:30 half hour, we're good. All right, cool. This is going to be great. All right. So I want you to see this here. We're just going to go line by line. Everybody say drive out. Now, our Old Testament was written in Hebrew and our New Testament was written in Greek. And we get a lot of Greek references, but when we're in the Old Testament, we get to look at the Hebrew. So if you just begin to look at the Hebrew for drive out, it actually means to sit. No, I'm sorry. Inhabitants means to sit. So he says, drive out the inhabitants. The inhabitants is what means to sit, especially in the place of judgment. So when you got born again, there were still some areas of your life that were inhabited with people and things that needed to go, and they were casting judgment and trying to rule. There are things in our life that are trying to rule and judge that we have to drive out. They're sitting in the place they don't belong. Even though you're born again, even though you're saved, God says, drive out the inhabitants. So, Father, would you search us? Would you search our heart? Where are there any places in our life that still inhabitants need to be driven out? Still something is sitting in judgment trying to rule. You said, drive it out. Drive it out. Then he says this, destroy engraved stones. Destroy engraved stones. Again, taking a look at the Hebrew, we see that that refers to pictures and imaginations. Pictures and imaginations. We might be born again, but we still have a responsibility, according to what Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians, to capture those imaginations and bring them into obedience to Christ, right? So we're not just driving out the inhabitants, those things that are trying to sit and cast judgment in our life. We also have to destroy those pictures and those images that are trying to speak to us. How many of you know you start walking out in the things that God has given you? You start walking in your authority, and all of a sudden, some memories come right back up. Some pictures. Or you're walking in your authority, you're following Christ, you're doing what he's called you to do, and then your imagination begins to wander. I wonder what it would like to do this, what it would be like to do this. I wonder what it would be like to experience this. Those things need to be destroyed. And the way they're destroyed is to capture those thoughts, capture those pictures, capture those imaginations, bring them right back to obedience to Christ and say, that is not the truth of who I am. When the enemy's trying to tell you who you used to be, you say, oh no, not anymore, devil. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. All things have become new. Old things have passed away. Destroy those engraved stones. Destroy the images that are trying to talk to you in your mind, in your heart, the things that are keeping you from fully possessing the land. Lord, would you show us those imaginations? Would you show us, Jesus, those pictures? Now we see that this, he doubles up here. He says, don't just destroy the engraved stones. Destroy the molded images. Molded images. How does something become molded? Melt it down, and then what do you do, Pastor John? You form it. What do you have to do? Okay, how does it get into the form? What do? There you go, baby, say it. Pour it. Destroy the things. Destroy the idols that have been created by the pouring out of your life to them. Destroy the exalted things, the idols in your life that have been created by you pouring out your life to anything other than the Lord. To be poured out. These creations that have come. Remember what Aaron said when Moses was up in the mountain having a glory party with the Lord? He's like, oh man, we just threw the gold in and out popped the calf. No, it didn't. What are you smoking, Aaron? No, it didn't. No, it didn't. You formed it. You formed it because it looked like exactly what you worshipped in Egypt. It looks that way. Where have we been pouring our lives out? What has been catching our worship through the pouring out of our lives? I believe in the time that we're living right now, and I am so excited about this social media fast because I believe in the time that we're living right now, the enemy is really lulling the church to sleep. And we think, oh no, we're ready for it. No, we're not. Because at the end of the night, we check out and we just scroll and scroll and scroll and scroll. But the Lord wants to speak to you at the end of the night. He's looking for an ear at the end of the night. In the morning, he's looking for intimacy and connection because we need it. He wants and desires connection with us, but we're just being lulled by all the saturation of information. And we think that by worrying about it, we're gonna do something about it. No. We are pouring out our lives in surrender. It's like, no, I don't worship idols. Oh, I believe that we do. I believe we are pouring out our lives to things that are not the Lord. And this whole fast is going to reveal that God is going to teach us how to destroy the things. Why would the church be so riddled with fear? Oh, because we're not listening to the good news and the truth. We're listening to other news. We're letting others tell us how we should operate in this world. I'm not saying be ignorant. I'm saying, what's feeding you? I'm saying, what are you pouring out your life? That's awesome right there. That's the stuff right there. Okay. So destroy these molded images. Man, when this hit me, I was like, oh my. It means what has come from being poured out. We pour out our lives as a drink offering to the Lord and to nothing else. I am poured out to the Lord. So anything in my life that's come and become a high place of worship and sacrifice because I've poured out my life to it, it's got to be destroyed. It's got to be destroyed. Maybe it's workaholism. Maybe it's being a slave in that area. It's got to be surrendered and destroyed. So the Lord says this, destroy, destroy, and then demolish the altars. The places of worship and dedication. Places that we have consecrated in our lives that are anything else other than what the Lord has commanded. Destroy, demolish the altars. Lord, would you show us where the altars are in our life that are not altars for you, Lord? Would you show us, God? Would you show us? So after we destroy, demolish, the Lord begins to say here, and I want you to check this out. Go over to verse 53. Now, in verse 53, the Lord says, you shall dispossess the inhabitants of the land. This is the second time he's referring to the inhabitants. And he's saying, not only do you have to drive out those things that have been there, but you need to dispossess in order for you to possess. Dispossess in order for you to possess that land that God has given you. And that literally means to seize and to rob and to render and bring to poverty. Bring to poverty. Don't let those imaginations, don't let those high places, don't let those things of your past try to have any more place in your life. Dispossess them. They have no right to speak anymore. You take the inheritance that you have back from them, just like Jesus did. You take it back. Seize it. Rob it. Man, we about got lit last week when Pastor Zach started playing that song. Well, I went to the enemy's camp and I... Yeah. Yeah. And you know what? This is why the scripture teaches us in Hebrews not to forsake the assembly of the brethren, especially as the day is getting closer, because we feel the strength when we're here together and we're ready to take the land when we're here together. But the enemy knows, we all go back to our houses. And we, in our houses, where there's challenges in relationships, at our workplaces, where there's challenges in relationships and bosses, we still have to walk out these seven things and come back and be strengthened. Even the children of Israel, there were times they were going into the land and inhabiting together and fighting for each other, and then there were times that they just went out to get the land themselves. So, you need to seize, rob, and disinherit by occupying the places where the former inhabitants were. Lord, what needs to be disinherited in my life? How about that word that says you're a failure and you're no good and you're never gonna be any good? How about that word that says that you're rejected and you're unloved? For every lie that the enemy speaks, that he gets you to believe actually has a position and inheritance, we must find the corresponding truth here in God's word. We will never disinherit the enemy by thinking enough or reasoning enough or rationalizing enough. It must be the word of God coming out of our mouth to disinherit where the enemy has been. How does the New Testament drive out? Do we go in and start murdering? No, we speak the truth. We speak God's word. Your praise will ever be on my lips. We speak the word of God coming out of our mouth. Occupy. Occupy. It's so interesting because the idea of occupying may just be like, oh, okay, yeah, we're just going to settle down here. No, there's actually action to that occupying. You actually have to push back the enemy so that you can occupy that place that the Lord gave you. Now, as I stated from the beginning, the Lord is coming after a few things today. He wants to eradicate fear. So if the Lord said through Paul writing to Timothy, you have a sound mind, then we need to actually possess the land of a sound mind that the Lord has given to us. We don't need to be riddled with anxiety, fear, depression, oppression. No. We can possess the land of peace in the midst of chaos. We can possess the land of joy, for the kingdom of God is not food and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. These are part of the divine nature that we get to have access to. For he has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness, by which we become partakers of the divine nature. For as he is, so are we on this earth. We're not groveling. We're not groveling in the dirt. We're standing our ground, vested in the authority and the armor of Christ given to us by our Savior. Yeah. 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 So we see here, after you dispossess the inhabitants, the Lord follows it up right here in the same verse, and he says, dwell in it. Now that you have dispossessed the inhabitants, now dwell in the land. And there are actually a few things that need to take place when you dwell in the land. So our the folks that we, and I'll wrap up for today in just a few moments, but I guess we will make this a two-parter. This is really cool. All right. So we bought our home from some really awesome pastors in our community. They're amazing people. Thank you guys so much. They're awesome. If they're watching or their granddaughter's here. But one of the things that Pastor Maria told us, she said, hey, listen, I didn't get to the garden this year, and some things grew up and they overgrew and they're overrunning the garden. And part of occupying the land is actually tending to the things that are supposed to be there and uprooting the things that shouldn't be there. So when I'm occupying, I'm going to work the ground and cultivate the soil. I may even have to prune back some things that are far-reaching so that more produce can come. Isn't that what Jesus said that the Father does in John 15, that he prunes back to produce more? And anything that's not producing, he's going to lop right off. To occupy isn't just to sit back and relax, because there's work to do. So, real quickly, I'm going to run through these and then we'll deal with them next week. The first thing about occupying is to take your rightful place. You have a place that the Lord has called you to stand. And you have a right to take that place in the Spirit. The next thing you have to do is you have to work the land and make it yield for you. So for 40 years, the Lord led the children of Israel in the wilderness by supernatural food, manna and quail. The scripture teaches us that the day after they ate from the fruit of the land, the manna ceased. There's a supernatural sustenance that the Lord provides to us while he's teaching us the lessons in the wilderness. But as we step into that promised land, there is a plowshare in our hand that he has given us and a staff that we begin to cultivate the ground. And now that we're cultivating the ground and working with him, now it's not the supernatural sustenance from heaven, it's the supernatural produce from the land that he gave us that we trust him for the increase. Are you all seeing that? Man, this is so layered and so deep. I'm just like scratching the surface, but in my head, I'm seeing it all. I'm in the Spirit seeing it all. We get to join with the Lord to work the ground and trust him for the results. The same provider that dropped it down from heaven will cause it to grow up in abundance from a ground so that you, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. 2 Corinthians 9. The Lord wants to work with us. So we work the ground. We trust the Lord for the harvest. We establish a new place of worship. The only place of worship. We establish an altar. We consecrate our heart. Now that we've demolished the altars, we consecrate our heart to the place of worship for God, and nothing else gets to go there. It's set apart, it's sanctified, it's consecrated. Then the last two things are really cool. We build a wall with the Lord. We build a wall all around the land that the Lord has given us, for he has hedged us behind and before. He traverses the way of the righteous. He walks about. We build a wall with the Lord, and then we begin to set watchmen in the towers over the gates of our ears and our eyes to warn us of intruders and potential intruders who want to come in. All right, so that's just scratching the surface. This is a lot of fun. It's going to be great. Come back next week. We're going to pray. We're going to trust the Lord for what he has for us. Come on and stand to your feet. Father in heaven. Father in heaven, thank you, Lord. Thanks for having some fun with us this morning, Lord. Thank you. Lord, I pray right now, as we have talked about at the beginning, about marriages, we talked about fear, we talked about maybe broken relationships with children. Father, I just want to declare right now, and we'll give it a week to work, but I want to declare right now, as you were speaking this word to me, I saw couples who were married, but they weren't really possessing the land of their marriage. They were allowing intruders to overrun it. They were allowing imaginations and pictures to overrun it instead of destroying, demolishing, tearing down, and occupying. And so, Lord, I want to speak right now to those marriages. I want to speak right now to those who feel like it doesn't matter. They're throwing up their hands. No. The Lord has put a pruning knife
in your hand. To prune back. Don't let those things speak to you. To prune back those lies that are trying to occupy and inherit your marriage and keep you just coasting and surviving. Oh, we're Christians, so we're not going to get divorced. But you're not living in righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. You're just surviving. God, that's not what you have for a godly marriage. You have more. I want to speak to those right now who are riddled with fear, who are struggling and gripped by the fangs and the talons of fear. You have not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. And Lord, I speak a sound mind over every individual in this room. Fear is a lie. And Lord, we've been told in the past that we just need more faith so that we're not afraid. We just need more faith. But you've given us the answer in 1 John 4 that it's perfect love that casts out fear. So Father, I pray that you enrapture your people with perfect love. I pray that you envelop your people right now with perfect love, that they would feel your loving arms coming up and around them. And in the midnight seasons of their life, God, in the dark seasons of their life where fear wants to gnash its teeth, wants to sink its talons inside of every heart. God, I pray that we would find ourselves under the shadow of your wings and in your love, God. It's in your love, Lord. Lord, I pray over this week. I'm asking you right now, folks, I just want you to put your hands out right now where you are. Just put your hands out. They could be up, down, but put them out. We're going to take 30 seconds to yield right now. Lord, where are there areas of our life that we need to possess? Where is there land? Where is there promised land that we need to possess and not allow it to be overrun? We're going to take 30 seconds and wait on the Lord. Okay, hands down. By show of hands, so I can test what I sense the Lord showing me, how many of you saw something, some land that you're supposed to possess in the spirit, in your life, in your relationship? Okay, Lord, we ask you to teach us. Guys, our homework this week, I'm sorry, I'm a teacher. Our homework this week is to meditate in and on this passage, to write down those seven things, because we may be trying to dwell and we may be trying to occupy, but there may be some things that we need to disinherit. There may be some agreements that we've come into with the lies of Satan, and we need to come out, break those internal vows. I will never. Maybe we need to come out of agreement with those things in order to find freedom. So, Father, we just continue to keep our hearts open to you today. There's still so much to do to dwell in the land, God, but there's a promised land. There is a promised land of salvation on this side of heaven, not just the glory that is coming someday, but you said, Jesus, that the thief only comes to steal and kill and destroy, but you have come that we might have life and life more abundantly. So it's not just the survival, it's life more abundantly. So Lord, we're asking today by your spirit that you would teach us how to inherit the land, how to occupy our rightful place and trust in you for the harvest that you are providing as we continue to work this ground. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.
This is Pastor Zach and you've been listening to HPC Sermon Notes. Love you guys. God bless you and have the best day of your life.